Just me? Okay. So this morning, Tiana was during prayer, was kind of talking. She was speaking some things about God, who He is, and His always being there for us and always being available to us. So, and that kind of really brought this out to me when I was thinking about Psalms 9, verse 9. This is in the TPT. All who are oppressed may come to you as a shelter in the time of trouble, a perfect hiding place. Verse 10, may everyone who knows your mercy keep putting their trust in you, for they can count on you for help no matter what. O Lord, you will never, no, never neglect those who come to you. Now, in the Amplified, it's very interesting. We are living in some strange times, right? In that Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Inflation, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And if you listen to the people who live in the world, there's a lot of complaining. There's a lot of issue with what's going on, specifically when it comes to finances, prices of gas, prices of food, just the way things are. But for you and I, we live in a different kingdom, and we have a different way of dealing with this. And I gave you guys a word not too long ago about, right, we don't judge and we don't complain, because if you're complaining, you're not in faith. So we don't complain about these things. We look to God. God is our supply. Now, in the Amplified Classic, the Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble. What kind of trouble? High cost. This is scripture. This is in the Bible. And the Amplified, what is nice is it shows you, it takes that word, whatever the word of trouble was, and it says, these are the various things this word means in, this is in Psalm, so it was probably written in Hebrew. High cost, destitution, and desperation. Now, the world, the rest of the world is pretty desperate. There are people that are seriously suffering because of the times. But for you and I, the Lord will be a refuge and a high tower. Amen. And a stronghold in times of trouble. 10. And they who know your name, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, and for you. On the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity. The right of your necessity. So when you go to God, you know God. You're saved. You're one of His kids. You're in His kingdom. You're in Him daily. So you go to Him and you say, Father, out of my necessity, Psalms 9:10 says that if I put my confident trust in you, you will not forsake me. You will not leave me, and you will supply for me. This is what pastors, and I'm sure it's going to be talked about today, but this is what they've been talking about, staying in the Word, being connected to God. And all of these things that are in the Word, all those promises are yours. And you can, on the authority of God's Word and the right of your necessity, you have the right to go to God, to boldly go into His throne room and say, Father God, your Word says you'll supply all my need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to stand on that. I believe you for it. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to see my salvation. So I thank you for that. Father God, we thank you and praise you for your word. It is so rich. It is so good. And Father, there is so much help there. Father, I pray for ears to hear, eyes to see today. I ask that you bless this offering and use it to the furtherance of your kingdom and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I've been sitting there looking at my water going, why did I leave it up there? I get so thirsty. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. That's better. How's everybody doing today?
Fantastic.
Spectacular. Steve was making a big deal out of movie night being not being night. Then he's like, I guess if it's 6, it's evening. The sun doesn't even start to go down till 9 o'clock or something like that. It's movie day all day, every day. for like 4 months. It's ridiculous. Oh, I long for long nights. It's going to be beautiful. I can't wait. And they're cold-ish. Cool. There's nothing cold in Bullhead City. Everybody, it snowed here one time. Wanting it again just one time, right? Yeah. Then we can go and have a New Year's party at Mark's house again. That'd be great. So I'm going to pray and then we'll get into the word. Father, thank you for this time to come before you, Lord God. I ask that you would use me right now in the name of Jesus, that you would, I just yield myself to you, my mouth, my words, everything, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Agree with me on that I'm just a yielded vessel. Amen. That's what we're looking for. So check this out. When I found out that I was preaching this Sunday, God already gave me a message. It was great. And he let me continue on in that track. So I'm pretty excited about that. So I'm going to introduce myself. Some of you know me. Some of you don't. Some of you know what I do. Some of you don't. So my name is Clinton. I am a husband. I'm a father. I'm the associate pastor here. I'm a dog owner. I'm a middle child. I'm a friend. An avid aquascaper. I'm a son. I'm a gamer. I'm an AV tech. I'm a banker. And I am a Christian.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Look at all those amens. So I want to challenge you a little bit on that.
Amen.
None of that is me.
Amen.
Every word was true. But none of it is me. What? That's about what I thought I'd get. The things we do are not who we are.
Amen.
What we are isn't who we are.
Amen.
Scripture says, I think it's, we pull it up, Romans 11:29. Any New King James is fine, whatever. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
That's right.
Amen.
And then, if you would, really quick, Psalm 119:89. Same version's fine. It's one of those deep scriptures like I was talking about on Wednesday night. Don't shake or you'll lose it. Look, I did the same thing on my computer. Silliness. Psalm 119:89. Whee! Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
So, again, I tell you, the things that you do and what you do are not who you are. The world has been tricked and duped. People, well, I'll just give you an example. This is my daughter. My sons aren't here. I will beat them later. But Ireland is my daughter. If Ireland, for some reason, ceased to exist, or if she just hated me and she was my only child, I would kind of cease to be a father, right? I had a kid. Right? I've got three. But I would cease being a father. And if my identity is wrapped up only in being a dad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep, yep.
If Heather, for some reason, was to leave me, I don't think that there's ever a reason to leave Clinton. I'm amazing. But if she was to decide that she is done with my silliness, I would cease to be a husband. I had this all planned out. Eric was supposed to be sitting there, and he's not. Bad Eric. Steve is a friend of mine. If Steve were offended by something I said and decided to not be my friend anymore, I wouldn't be a friend. Yeah. See, if we wrap too much of our identity into the things we do and what we are, it's real easy to end up down and depressed.
Amen.
And not really enjoying and getting the most out of life.
Amen.
And that goes for anything. I don't care if you're a teacher. I don't care if you're a pastor. If you cease to be any one of those things, that can wreak havoc in your mental and emotional health. So I would challenge you, instead of focusing on what you are and the things that you do, that you would focus solely on who you are and who God says you are. The key to this is, of course, believing. We got this never-ending circle of belief right now.
Amen.
There's some reason why God has us hanging out in faith.
Yes.
And hanging out in believing.
Come on.
Because it's a time in this day and age, believing is going to be absolutely imperative.
Yes.
To survival.
Amen. Yes.
We are a word of faith church, and I said on Wednesday I'm not going to compromise what we believe.
That's right.
Amen.
Not to suit anybody's fancy, not to keep you sitting in those chairs, because at the end of the day it doesn't. My job is to bring the word in what God says.
Yes. Amen.
And if you don't like it, you don't like it.
Amen.
And I feel sorry for you. I don't have a better way to put that.
Yeah. Amen.
Do not be conformed to this. Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 12, 2. I'm hanging around in New King James today. I'm just going to stay there probably. So make it easy for everybody. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The conform to the world. This is kind of what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Gosh, there's so many examples. I'll tell on myself. So, I don't know. In 2016, or actually 2015... I began a licensing process with Foursquare. Okay? In 2016, I received my licenses. And Pastor Tim and Barb were the pastors here. And Pastor Barb was adamant about me learning how to be called pastor. I was completely content with just being Mr. Clinton. I had been Mr. Clinton for years as the children's ministry director. The license didn't change that. I was still the children's ministry director, and I loved when the kids called me Mr. Clinton. And so when I would introduce myself, it was just Mr. Clinton. But then they were more and more, they wanted me to get used to being called pastor. And I fought a little bit on it, but then I was like, right on, cool. And I got used to being called pastor. Then we had the changeover. And Pastor Ricky and Chelsea came. And everybody, and this is a little bit of correction in case you are still calling them this. Everybody just called Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea, Ricky and Chelsea. I was Pastor Clinton, but they were Ricky and Chelsea. And there was a little while where I was kind of offended by that for them.
Amen.
And then through wise counsel, I'm Brother Clinton. And the devil used that immediately.
Yes.
Even though the whole time, I never wanted to be called pastor.
Right.
The devil said, you're not a pastor anymore. Really? And so the devil used that opportunity to offend me. And for about 15 minutes, I was offended. I'll be honest, right?
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had allowed myself to get conformed to the world system and believe myself and my identity was wrapped in that word.
Yeah, amen.
Now, the reason why I was offended for my pastors, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Chelsea, is because they are the shepherds of this body. If you address them, please address them as Pastor Ricky and Pastor Chelsea.
Yes, amen.
Because God has placed them in that position.
That's right.
Yep. And we should honor what God honors. It's an honor thing.
Yes, amen.
It's not a rule. It is honor. Amen. So let's honor them. I don't know why I'm on that, but let's just do that. If we could, I would appreciate that. And I won't ever, my mom was pretty bad at it at the beginning. Sorry. Please forgive me. So she'd say, oh yeah, I got to talk to Ricky. I'm like, who's Ricky? So I used to do that all the time just to get you without being mean, get her into the habit of saying Pastor Ricky or Pastor Chelsea. Sometimes when I go Pastor Ricky and Chelsea, I correct myself and go, no, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Chelsea, right? Because the idea is just to get them both out of the way. They're both pastors, right?
Amen.
But I digress. So the world, I'm going to get back onto the notes. The world and the world system and the little g God of this world system wants you to wrap who you are into what you do with one thing in mind. Totally one thing, and it's defeat.
Yes, amen.
Again, in order to get out of that mindset the world has put you in, you have to start believing what God said about you.
Yes, amen.
But if you don't know what God said about you, you can't believe what God said about you. That's why that Bible reading plan is so important.
Amen.
Any Bible reading plan.
Yes.
Because there's a couple things in there that are super easy to grab a hold of. And you don't have to know scripture and verse. I would challenge you, you don't even have to know the entire verse.
Amen.
You just go, when something's going on, you're like, hold on. By his stripes, I am healed.
Amen.
I'm more than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus. But we have people that have been in church their entire life and don't even know that.
Yes, amen.
Their entire life. They don't know that the captives that they are have been set free.
Yes, amen.
And even if they've read it or heard it once because they were flipping through the channels on Fox or whatever, when I don't know what, like Channel 11 in California when I was growing up was church on Sundays, man. But so you hear a minister say something one time and you never apply it to your life and you never believe it. If I told you right now that you won the lottery, you know, a couple weeks ago when it was that billion, you do everything you could in your mind to confirm that.
Yes.
You'd move heaven and earth, if I could say.
Amen.
But as ministers, when we come up here and we tell you that's not, this is what the word says, we won't even pick up the Bible and flip through a couple pages.
Amen.
Knowing who you are is more faith. It is more believing. It's more trusting in God. If all I know about myself And what I believe is wrapped up in friendship, in being a husband, in being, I'm a terrible gamer. I'm not good. If all I know about myself is that I'm a gamer, which I'm not, but I play games, I would be depressed all the time. Because I am not good at the games. I'm all right, I guess. Oh, yeah. Well, even then, you're good at Madden until you have teenage boys. I remember the first time Gabe beat me. That was also the last time we played. Because I was good at Madden till that day. And then no more. Some of you don't know what that's about. Madden's a video game, Wendy Jean. I'm just joking. Ooh, here's one. This is in the notes. Husbands, wives, I'm going to help you here. Don't young husbands and wives that have children, don't get so wrapped up in being a parent that you neglect being a friend,
yes,
being a lover,
yep,
being a confidant.
Yes.
Because that is rampant in society today.
Yes. Amen.
Don't do it. You want to, if you're struggling in your marriage, see who you're putting first.
Yes.
Amen.
Jesus, husband,
right,
or wife, kids.
Amen.
Don't get it mixed up. Because guess what? Kids leave. Thank God. I love you, but bye. No. In all fairness and reality, the talks have begun about Isaac leaving, and I got a little teary-eyed the other day. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna be. But it's more because I'm the only dude left in the house, right? It has nothing to do with it being my son, at all. I might be lying. So what does the scripture say about who you are? And how is the devil reacting to that? I have a quote here. It says, identity isn't found in yourself or things or people, but in God. The devil even questioned Jesus' identity. In Matthew 4, 1 through 4. This is the wilderness story. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." Go ahead and go back to that other, to three really quick. If you are the Son of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all, little side note, Jesus created everything.
Yes.
Including Satan.
Yes. Amen.
Okay, y'all, in case you didn't know, I don't know how versed you are in the Bible. I'm just going to take this from an entry-level point. The devil at one point was the most beautiful angel.
Yes.
So long as we know that. And then he challenged God and ended up the devil. So if Satan knew who Jesus was, but still decided that I'm going to challenge him and who he is while he's at his weakest.
Yes. Amen.
Y'all get that?
Yes,
yeah. If we back up, it says that he was hungry.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
How many of you get a little angry when you're hungry?
Angry.
How many of you have, you never get a challenge to your identity. You never get a challenge to your morals when everything is going great.
Amen.
The devil knows what he's doing. He's a pro. He's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
He comes when you're at your weakest. He comes when your wife and you, or your husband and you, are in an argument. He comes when your kids won't go to sleep. Right? He comes when you're hungry. He comes when your boss has an attitude. He comes when the tire's flat. He doesn't come when you're strolling down the road singing praise songs. It gives him a stomachache. He doesn't want to be there. But he'll throw a log out in front of your tire, pop it, and see how quick you cuss. He comes for, this was my weakness and why I don't work on cars for myself anymore. He comes when a bolt won't come loose or when it's in a weird position. That's the devil. And as soon as he can get you just a little bit off of where God has you, he's got you. That's why believing, knowing who you are in Christ, believing who you are in Christ, and being willing to have a repentant life.
Amen.
Which means, and that simply is this, you stub your toe and you cuss, no matter how insignificant you think it is, repent.
Yep. Amen.
And when you get into that habit, of if I, when I get mad at the kids and I go too far, I will apologize to them because I have already repented.
Yes, amen.
Right? Yeah. Or they might be the first one, and then I've got to go and say, God, I'm sorry. That's not me. But that comes, again, that comes from a belief that you are who God says you are.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 5, these are going to be quick. Don't worry about chasing them. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I am a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God said, I am a new creation. I don't have to be the way I used to be.
Amen.
Now, if you're an alcoholic, you should not go to the bar as a new creation. Okay, it because you could fall right back into that same situation.
Yes, amen.
And God freed you from it.
Yeah.
But the tempter comes.
Yes, amen.
Every time.
Yes, it does.
You're a new creation. I decided I did not want to work on cars anymore. Because if there was one thing that got me right out into the flesh, it was trying to take, I think the last thing I put on my car, I changed a water pump. Not a water pump, I changed a thermostat. It wasn't the water pump. I changed a thermostat on a Dodge Avenger. There, a thermostat is an itty bitty piece, and it's got this big old plastic like manifold on it that doesn't make any sense. I remember like my dad's car when we had to change the thermostat, we didn't even change it. We took the thing out, put the hose back on. That was it. We're done.
Amen.
Golly, and I've got this giant, it's bigger than my tablet thing. I've got to work out from a space this big. That was the last time ever I got underneath a car. And you know what proved to me it was the right thing to do? Is I forgot to attach one of the hoses and all my water came out. Thank God that it didn't blow my motor up. Goodness, I hate working on cars. I digress. But I don't do that anymore. John 2:12 says, I am forgiven. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, you for his name's sake. That was terrible reading. Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Same thing, but I read properly. Amen. I am saved. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Amen.
What? I'm a new, forgiven, and saved creation. Something that goes along with that is once you, this all has to do with if you believe God for salvation.
Yes, amen.
So
average Joe walking down the street who doesn't believe in God, he doesn't have all of these things.
Amen.
I am light. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I'm free from sin, Romans 6:22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness at the end, everlasting life. We're going to rabbit trail this one. So it says at the end, everlasting life. Does everybody agree that's what the scripture says?
Yes.
Okay. But God, Jesus came that we may have life and life to the full. Why is it that so many people think that the life to the full is after we die? That's everlasting life.
Yes.
There's a separate part to that where we can live on this earth with a full life.
Amen.
Now, some of you say, well, the Bible says that we will have struggles and we will have troubles. And it's and I've heard this, the only thing promised in the Bible for Christians is a hard time. I've heard that. That there's nowhere in the Bible where it says that you can live a victorious life. What? What? That's why people are all mad at Brother Olstein, because he had the audacity to write a book that says, live your best life.
Yeah, amen.
Goodness. It's all right to live your best life. Part of hooking up with God and believing God for the promises is also, it's that repentant life.
Yes.
And God will give you a way out of every situation that is bad.
Yes.
Amen.
That is promised in the Bible.
Yes.
A way of escape, exactly. But we want to be martyrs for God, which is fine. But it is really hard to get to Africa on the lint in your pocket.
Yeah.
Evelyn went to Africa. Didn't cost $10. Right?
Amen.
Patty's been to St. Lucia a couple times. Stephanie's been to St. Lucia. Not on the cruise ships.
Amen.
Patty went on a cruise ship also. She just wanted to let you know that she lives the best life. It's okay to go to St. Lucia on a cruise ship.
Amen.
But I was talking about they went with
the cheaper one. I enjoyed that.
Really?
Yes, because we could go barefoot.
Patty. No. Don't work. We had you ahead. Patty's awesome.
Amen.
We can live the best life.
Yes.
We can also serve God.
Yes.
Amen.
That's exciting.
Amen.
Serving God is exciting. Before I get back into the notes. So we started, I can't even remember when we started coming here. But so I served in kids' life as a children's minister. I was a helper. I helped with Jim. Jim trained me to do sound in the back in kids' life. I did sound for a little while, then they asked me to teach a little bit. So then I taught a little bit, and then all of a sudden, the lady who was running Kids Life, she moved, and they asked me to do it. And Heather and I were back there. We had a new vision for kids. It was cool. And we were back there, God, I want to say, in total, 11-ish, 12 years, we served in kids ministry. We've been here 15 years, so it would have been closer to 13 years. Ireland is correcting me because she's 15. And we've been here since right after she was born.
Right.
We carried her in the beginning.
Yeah.
So thank you. Now I'm off track. I was off track anyways. But so I can tell you that little else that I have done, and I enjoy preaching to big people. There was a blessing that came with teaching
Amen.
Kids.
Amen.
I've been to a few camps, right? Kids camps.
Amen.
Those are crazy.
Yeah.
Kids camps are, most people would be like, yo, I'll go to a youth camp. I've been to youth camp. Real deal. No. Youth camp people are lazy. Y'all don't even have to do anything. Kids camp is you follow kids around and take, it is your job to make sure they are where they need to be, when they need to be there. And you do this on no sleep. And for 3 days. And with 4 days, 2 nights, or 4 days, 3 nights, or something like that. It's, whoo! My first kids camp, and I wish they were all this way, they had a leader room, and in the leader room were buckets of energy drinks and big tubs of B-complex vitamins. And the teachers, we were taking the B vitamins and putting them in the cups and mixing them with the energy drinks just to stay alive. But it's something... There is really, and I'm just joking about, no, I'm not joking about any of that. That's real. Amen. But I was blessed so much in every single one of those camps to watch kids, to be blessed by God, to see things that God was doing in their lives. Yeah. Now, not everybody has the greatest camp experience. I can't help that. But mine was amazing.
Yes.
Every time I went. If you feel led, talk to somebody about serving in kids or in anything next gen. Because there is a blessing there. And I would not be able to talk to you guys if it wasn't for the time I spent investing in kids. They're much more forgiving than adults. And you seem really smart when you use big words like conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, y'all, it's okay to write these verses down, because if you'll write them down and you'll read them and you'll put them up on your walls, you'll start, if you keep it forever in front of your face, you'll start to believe things. If you tell a kid they are stupid over and over again, they will begin to believe that they are stupid. I had to correct myself this morning. My dog is challenging me. And so I keep calling him stupid. Come here, stupid. And so I got to repent of that and stop calling him stupid, otherwise he'll be a derpy dog for his entire life. And I want him to be strong, hammer, right? So I'm gonna stop calling him stupid. Amen. Pray with me and believe with me that I'll do that. If you call a kid bad or a person bad, they'll turn bad?
Yeah.
Yes. If you talk bad to a plant,
yeah.
It will shrivel up and die.
Yes.
That plant doesn't have any color. It could be the most beautiful plant or have the potential, and it will never shed a single petal that is pretty. Stop doing that to yourselves. I correct people often for this one. Oh my.
Yeah, amen.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It's not funny.
No, it's not a joke.
Oh, I'm just joking. I'm just messing around. You know, man, they hurt. I okay. Don't say they're killing you. You'll stub your toe and bleed to death. Stop it. Are you serious, dude? That's how I feel.
Yeah, amen.
Maybe it won't work for you, but spiritual principles are spiritual principles.
Yes.
It does not matter.
Yeah,
yes. Amen. How'd Frederick go? Well... he cracked his pinky toe and it spread an infection all the way to his brain. Serious.
Yeah.
That's messed up. You are called, 1 Corinthians 7:17.
Amen.
But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. God has given you a purpose in your heart. He has put something in you. Okay? That could be painting.
Amen.
It could be being a doctor.
Yeah.
We do believe in healing, but we also believe that doctors are ordained by God,
yep.
Even if they don't believe they are.
Amen.
But he has a calling on each and every one of your lives.
Yes.
I don't care how old or young you are. You might think, man, I'm getting up there. I've fulfilled the call. There's more to do. And from the pulpit, it sounds kind of, I would never bring this up when I was running kids. Never, ever, ever. Just because it seems self-serving. But serve in the church. It is not a rule. It is not a requirement. It is a blessing.
Yes.
And it is a privilege. Because the reality is you don't get to go back and just hang out with our kids because you like kids.
Amen.
There is a background check and there are requirements.
Yes.
Yes. So a lot of people don't understand that we're not just hard up. That's not it. We're still going to do everything we're going to do. But we want you to be able to feed off of the blessing that comes because you've given your time to God's kids. Because it's super good. You are victorious. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." One, I'm just living life. What do I need victory for? Drug addiction? Alcoholism? That new job?
Yeah.
A house? The enemy wants to keep you defeated. Everything that he holds back from you is defeat. You guys catch on to that.
Yes.
Okay? If your car is constantly breaking down, that is the enemy keeping you defeated. But the word says you're victorious.
Amen.
Can you believe that? God, the God who created the universe, wants you to be victorious.
Amen.
He wants you to understand that you are victorious. That's who you are. That's not what you are. That's who you are. That's all of these are things that are who you are. It's not something you do. It's not what you are. It's who you are. You are, your identity is a victor.
Yes.
I'm healed. Psalm 30 verse 2 says, "O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me."
Amen.
You are beautiful. I should have read this one. I am beautiful. But, you know. The Song of Song of Solomon 4:7 says, "You are altogether beautiful. My love, there is no flaw in you." You're not alone. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
Amen.
God loves you. He loves you enough when you feel alone, when there's nothing else, when everything seems to be closing in around you. God is with you. I don't know if it was... Well, it would have had to have been Wednesday night. So when Heather had the thing happen and she was in the hospital, I was by myself in my car. I got a Ireland called, said, "Mom call you yet?" I'm like, "No. What's going on?" "Well, something happened during her test. They're taking her to the hospital." That's hard. Went to my boss, said, "Hey, something happened during the..." My boss knew that Heather was having a test. I said, "Hey, something happened with Heather at the test." She's like, "Go ahead and go." I didn't stop and go turn my computer off. I booked it out the door. I had grabbed my keys and I'm out the door. I'm on my way. I didn't know what was going on. I hadn't heard from Heather yet. I had only heard from Ireland. Ireland was cool as anything. Chill. Good job, young lady. And then I had a little bit of problem there for a second, but I had peace in what was actually just tearing me up on the inside. I had peace because of God. Because he was with me, there was a presence with me on my way. My go-to when I'm feeling down is to play worship music, but I didn't even do that. I just focused on God. I prayed in the Spirit for a few minutes, and I just got to where I needed to be, to be with my wife. God did not forsake me. He did not leave me alone in that situation. He carried me through. That if I didn't know that God was with me, if I didn't know that I am victorious, if I didn't know that I had the peace of God, if I didn't know that the joy of the Lord is my strength, if I didn't know those things, I would have been a basket case for the entire 50-mile drive to get to a hospital I had never been to. But there was that peace. There was that knowing that we are victorious.
Amen.
Despite what's all happening on the other side. It's not cold-heartedness. It's understanding and knowing and having read the word.
Amen.
And believed God for what he said.
Yes.
Carried me through that entire situation. Did I eventually break down? Yes. I'm human.
Amen.
But I made it all the way with only a few tears shed. And that is the key. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, I am strong, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I could have used that entire story I just told you for this piece also.
Yeah.
Now, this is where people will get that. Well, you're going to have infirmities and reproaches. You're going to have persecutions and distress. Yes, I know that's coming.
Yeah.
The more I serve God and the closer I get to the perfect will of God where he has me going, the devil has to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But because of who I am in Christ and because I believe what the word says about who I am in Christ, I'll make it through.
Yeah.
And the same thing applies to you.
Yes.
God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't go, well, that guy's a pastor. He went through, let's be honest, my licensing was almost 100% about what I knew about the Foursquare Church. Of course, the word. But I'm licensed by the Foursquare Church. My being able to have a card in my wallet so I could pray for you at the hospital doesn't mean a dang thing.
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
The only thing that matters to God is what I'll believe him for. Because
yep.
You can't please God without faith.
Yep.
So if I read the entire Bible and I have my licenses because I'm good at remembering information and I'm a licensed minister, but I don't believe a word of what the word says, I'm useless to the body.
Amen.
I can't stir up your faith if I have none myself.
Amen.
And that, at the end of the day, that's what a minister's job is to do. It's to bring instruction and to stir you up.
Yes.
So you go, wow, the word says that. And you get into the word and it's, oh man. Psalm 84:4 says, I am blessed. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be they will still be praising you. I'm special to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
It's not just me.
Amen.
God knit, the word says he knit you together in the womb.
Yes.
He knows every hair on your head. Who? I don't know how many hairs are on Ireland's head. That's a lot of hair. Give me something easier like Steve's head. I'm sorry, Steve. It's still a lot of hair. Let's. Now we're not friends. That's how I don't. Goodness. I couldn't. Ireland's eyes are like, I don't know. They're gray. And she has the same amount of teeth as other human beings. I've never counted them. Amen. I couldn't tell you. Yeah. She. I don't know for sure what her favorite color is. God does. I'm her dad. Yeah. Huh? Purple? Yeah. High five. That's a good color. The color of royalty. Amen. That's good. You're that special to God that he knows everything about you. Yes. And he doesn't forget it. In fact, the only thing God forgets about you is the sin. That's another thing. Don't let sins in the past define who you are. God, that would be horrible. No, we won't even talk about that. Don't let what you used to do define who you are. Amen. Only let God define who you are.
Yes, sir.
One of my favorite things to tell people is found in Psalm 139:14. You are wonderfully made.
Yes.
I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well.
Amen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. One scripture says, more precious than rubies.
Yes.
God loves you so much. He took time to put you together. I can really only show as an example of that when I do my fish tanks. I know, please forgive me for bringing them up, but it's really the only thing I ever created with my hands. I was never good with models. They'd fall apart. I could do some woodworking, but it usually comes out off kilter, right? But like a planted aquarium, you plant it out and you take time and you place the hardscape, so rocks and wood and stuff in there, all very intricately, and you stand back and go, I'm going to change just there. It's perfect. Right?
Yeah.
And then you choose the plants and the wildlife that go inside of it, so on and so forth. And at the end, if you did this right and you took time, you have a very pretty creation that you put together. And you have life inside of it. And it's cool to watch. It's not a goldfish in a bowl with colorful gravel and a castle. Which if that's what you're doing, cool. I'll talk about you behind your back. But it's the time and the detail that goes into that. God did that for each and every one of you. So when he says that he knit you together in the womb, and that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knew, hey, this lady's crazy. She's going to have purple hair one day. Let's give her good features for that. Let's not have, like, weird stuff going on, right? I'm just joking. But you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
time went into creating you.
Yeah.
Time went into putting you together. More so than mom and dad's endeavors. You are precious to God. Isaiah 43:4 says, since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life.
Amen.
In closing, I just want to tell you guys this. None of this matters if you don't pick up your Bible and read it.
Yes.
None of it matters is that after having read it, you don't believe it. Some of you sitting here today, despite what I'm telling you right now, are still wrapped up in what you do. Stop it.
Amen.
Clint, that's easy for you to say. No. Think about those things that the world says you are. You're short. You're ugly. You're just a banker. That's always funny. There's been a lot of things said bad about bankers from the pulpit. And I've sat there for ages listening. But in the world, I am a banker. Right? It's what I do. Bankers are bad people. No, I'm just joking. Stop being so attached to your worldly identity. Stop giving so much sway in your life to what people say.
Yes.
I don't care. Maybe you're old in age. Who cares? Thank you for making it this far and having wisdom. And I would love to hear some of that because I like to get that kind of information. But don't get wrapped up in what other people say. Don't get wrapped up in the world. Don't get wrapped up in the identity, dare I say, politics of this current time. Because none of it matters.
Amen.
The only thing that matters is what God says.
Amen.
And if you'll believe that, you will be one step closer to peace, to joy, to happiness. Let's work on doing that. So if you would please, really quick, go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes. None of this matters if you don't believe God. And the first step in believing God and having faith is believing that His Son Jesus came to die for you. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you would like to do so, I invite you to raise your hand and I'll pray with you. And we'll settle it, and you can start believing God for what He says or who He says you are. So I'm just going to look around really quick. If that's anybody, go ahead and pop your hand up or hand up. Everybody's saved. Everybody's accepted God. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. Raise your right hand. No, I'm just joking. let's just proclaim this. Father God.
Father God.
I believe you.
I believe you.
In who I am.
In who I am.
I am victorious.
I am victorious.
I am healed.
I am healed.
I am saved.
I am saved.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
I am not alone.
I am not alone.
I am strong.
I am blessed.
I am special to you,
who
wonderfully made me
and considers me precious.
In Jesus' mighty name, everybody that agreed said amen. Hallelujah. God is good. The pastors, they should be back soon. They're out enjoying themselves. You guys, I'm just going to let you go. Be blessed. Have a wonderful weekend, the rest of the weekend you have. And we'll see you on Wednesday.